A word of prayer. Lord, anything that comes that is of value is by your Spirit. Lord, you open our minds to see the truth, Lord, in the way that you intended it. Lord, we don't always get the complete and full meaning, but as much as we can take in at any given time, Lord, you do give to us. Our prayer this morning is the theme, Lord, that has been sitting in this laptop for almost 2 years. And Lord, at long last, Lord, you have given me something that is relevant and topical and current. And I pray, Lord, that it will be a blessing and instructive to all who hear, myself included. Lord, new life this morning, and then those who listen at another time, and all God's people said. You turn on the news this morning, you open your messages on your telephone, and this comes up. It is from the Minister of Communication, and it simply says this: speak evil of no man. How do you think people would react to that? I'll give you a series of options. Speak evil of no man. I have the right to free speech. How many people do you think would say that? I have a right to free speech. I think that would be the reaction of many people. Number one. Number two, speak evil of no man. No one is going to shut me up. I think that would be kind of those with a slightly more forceful personality. But I think it would certainly be a sizable response of many people. Option number three would be this. I call it as it is. I call a spade a spade. That would be another option. Speak evil of no man. How about this? I speak my mind whenever and wherever I deem appropriate or necessary. Final one. I'll have no one tell me what I can and can't say. Well, the good news is the Minister for Communication, whoever they are, I don't know who they are at the moment, didn't send the email. If you look at the telephones, you don't see that text. But it was given by the Spirit of God to Paul, to his people, and to the people of God. Speak evil of no man. I don't know which of those five options you can identify with, and maybe I won't ask you to prop your hands, but I'm sure some of them possibly resonated with you. I have a right to free speech. No one's going to shut me up. I call it as it is. I speak my mind, and I'll have no one telling me what I can and can't say. Now the question is, why would the Spirit of God give that message to the Apostle Paul for the people of God? Why would he do that? And why is it important? Well, let me refresh you of stuff that has been said thousands upon thousands of years ago on this very subject. Some of these we covered, so I'm merely alluding to them. Speak evil of no man. Why should I even consider that? Well, Proverbs 18:22 says this. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it and indulge it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. That could not be more current than what we've read in the news this week. Reason number one, the tongue has incredible power. Proverbs 10:19 from the Amplified as well says this. This would be reason number two why we shouldn't speak evil of people. Where there are many words, transgressions and offense are unavoidable. But he who controls his lips and keeps his thoughtful silence is wise. Sometimes the best thing to do is to say nothing. Reason number two. Reason number three why I speak evil of no man, again, comes from Proverbs, and these we covered a few years ago in different sermons. But Proverbs 17:27, again, the Amplified, I used it for this, says this. He who has knowledge restrains and is careful with his words. A man of understanding and wisdom has a cool spirit, self-control, and an even temper. And the last one is taken from the Psalms. Does anyone want to live a life that is long and prosperous? And the answer, of course, most people will say yes. So what's the advice in this? Then keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. So long before the Apostle Paul got this word, for New Testament Christians, and Solomon had this nailed down a long time ago and saw how destructive words can be, how brutal and how deadly they can be. So, speak evil of no man is an important theme of the scriptures. And yet, back when those words were spoken by Solomon, obviously, and then by the Apostle Paul, there was a great deal of communication that was evil and that is destructive. And indeed today, it has not decreased in any way, if anything. I think we can safely say it has increased, certainly with social media. But it's very easy to have a sharp tongue and to let rip. But power of life and death are in those words. So speak evil of no man. I can honestly say probably in Irish society, different sections of society get a fair amount of tongue lashing and have done so and probably will continue to do so in spite of what I'll say this morning, it'll not make a scrap of difference. But there's certainly a section of society that are fair game when it comes to speaking evil. That's what there is, or speaking evil about them. And I think picture paints a thousand words. Speak evil of no man. For the benefit of the listener, we've just put up a photograph of the three main leaders of the three parties currently trying to figure out what they're going to do with the government. Micheál Martin, Leo Varadkar, and Mary Lou McDonald. Speak evil of no man comes from Titus, the book of Titus. It's a very short little letter, actually. Chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and it's page 1199 in your Bible. You've got that? 1199. Now, before we look at the, I go to the NIV, let me give you the very same verses in the Good News Bible. Listen to what it says. I put up here on the screen for you. It says, remind your people, this is Paul writing to Titus, that they should always be under the authority of rulers and government leaders. They should obey these leaders and be ready to do good. Verse 2 says, tell them not to speak evil of anyone, but to live in peace with others. They should be gentle and polite to everyone. My question is, need we say any more? Speak evil of no man. Remind your people that this, yeah? I'll read it again in one take. Very powerful, isn't it? Wait a minute, I keep going. I'm going to give you the answers. The NIV says, remind the people to be subject to the rulers and authorities, to be obedient, and to be ready to do whatever is good. That's got to do with attitudes. It's all got to do with attitudes. And then verse 2 says, to slander nobody, or to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle towards everyone. That is written to the people of God, not to society in general. People like us. And then the good news, I put it up there so you have the idea where I got. Because when the Lord gave me the verses was, speak evil of no man. That's the verse he gave me. So the good news says again, remind your people that they should always be under the authority of rulers and government leaders. That's an awful long way from knocking them. They should obey the leaders and be ready to do good. Tell them not to speak evil of anyone, but to live in peace with others. They should be gentle and polite to everyone. Now, that would be quite an obnoxious statement to send to anyone who is not a follower of Jesus, and with great respect, it's fairly obnoxious even to the people of God. People wouldn't say, well, there's not a hope of me considering that, or there's not a hope of me of doing that, and I wouldn't, even if I could do it, I wouldn't be inclined to do it anyway. But that's what's given. So, I was thinking about that, speak evil of no man. So, how do you do that? So, how do you do it? Speak evil of no man. So, how do you do it? Well, I think Paul has given us some of the answer. If you look at verse 3 now, we've looked at one of two Titus, in Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Look at verse 3, and Paul is beginning to open up something for us that may be of some help to us. He's giving us a perspective, right? And it says this, verse 3. At one time too, we, this is past tense, were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. So, in the people that he's actually talking to and said, this is actually the way you actually conducted your business. And how do we know that? Because look at the next line that he says. The next line simply says, continue on, we lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. If one lives in malice and in envy and in hatred, what's going to come out? Envy, malice, and hatred. That's what's going to come out. Let me paraphrase that with something that Jesus said. He said, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You want to know what is in somebody's heart? Listen to their words. The more vindictive, the more hatred, the more poison that is in them. So, when the Apostle Paul is speaking to Titus, to his congregation, he is saying this, this is exactly the way we were. This is exactly what we were like. We were disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, and we hated one another. And the end result was, take the legs from under one another. Destroy, assassinate, do whatever you needed to do. So it wasn't that these people were any better. It was, that's the way they were, past tense. But something has happened to them that has changed. And then verses 4 to 6 describes this. Now, this is something has either happened to you or hasn't. If it hasn't, you have no hope of doing what is being asked. No hope. But if you have had this experience and this is true to you, then there is some hope. Because in verse 4, having said, at one time too, we were foolish, verse 4 begins with a transformation. But something has happened to make this absolutely a possibility at least. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared, It changed something. He saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. What the Apostle Paul is saying here is, there are people who have experienced this. I'm not talking about people who know about it. He's talking about people who have experienced it, and it has transformed them. That's the reason why the command is given in the first place. No point in asking people to do something while they're foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved, and while they're living in malice and hatred. It's not going to change anything. But if the power of Jesus invades your life and there is a transformation in you that is inward, then there is a chance, actually there's a very good possibility, of improving this. So he's talking here about the power of God in their lives that is transforming. That's very different from going to church. You can go to church all your life and never be transformed. And your tongue can be as bad day one, it could even be worse at the very end, unless there's some transformation. That seems to be what he's saying. And then verse 7, so that we have been justified by his grace, we might become heirs of having the hope of eternal life. So something has happened to these people that has changed them. And then the Apostle Paul sums all this up in verse 8, as far as I remember. He says this. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things. So those who have trusted in God, there lies the key, may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. Those who have trusted in God can't be done any other way. What he's simply talking about there is the transforming power of God that is available through Jesus that has a chance of doing the very things that he talks about. It's an attitude towards people in authority. It's an attitude towards all people. That vindictiveness that is naturally inhuman, that fight that wants to get on with stuff. Some of that is tamed. And we see some of it is just our sinful nature. Some is their sinful nature. And the difference between us and them is simply the kindness and love of God has transformed us. But it can only transform us when we have trusted in Him. So what's he saying? If you have encountered this God, it does something to your tongue. And if it hasn't, then I would ask you very carefully to consider, have you actually experienced this? It's for you. And it's available for you. And it's there. But if you haven't seen healing or your tongue being curtailed in some way, then something is not right. Words do have an impact. That is the only way you can even make. But then the last verse, these things are excellent and profitable for everyone. No, if you want to insist on the right of free speech, to say what you want, when you want, where you want, wherever you say it, go right ahead. No one is going to stop you. But you'll have to live with the consequences of what you said. Or the consequences of what you have said and the impact it'll have on others. You'll have to live with it. And I'll have to live with it. This is the trustworthy saying. I want to stress to you these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Now, you are abiding to that or you don't. God never forces His word on anyone. And I have the same freedom to do it or not to do it as you have. But that's the only way you can ever stop speaking evil of man. It's only achieved by the grace of God in our lives. Because you tell anyone, they get their backs up and they become more militant and say that I'll have no one silence me. The difference here is when you experience something of the grace of God and He shows you what you're like or what I'm like, it makes you more compassionate and more tolerant of other people as you realize how gracious and how tolerant God is. Applications. Life applications to this. This answers Helen's question. We are free to speak. At no stage have I said to you, you cannot speak. Have I? At no stage has the scripture said, do not speak. It cautions us to use our words wisely, to think carefully, and to be prudent. It never says, do not speak, does it? We're free to speak. Of course we are. But we're not free to slander one another. And let's face it, there is a vicious amount of slander that happens. The Bible doesn't say you cannot speak. But it says to people of God, do not slander. We're free to speak, and point number two, but we're not free to assassinate one's character. Well, you can disagree with government policy. You can disagree with a government stance and say, I radically and I fundamentally disagree with that. But you don't necessarily, and I don't necessarily have to assassinate the person that's saying it. But often, in our communication, if we're absolutely brutally honest, not alone do we attack the policy, we'll also attack the man or the woman and feel completely justified in doing so. To answer Helen's question, everywhere Jesus went and where things were fundamentally wrong, he pointed it out. But he was extremely gracious with people. And things that he could have said about him, he didn't. Things that he knew about him, he withheld. Simply because of his kindness and his grace. The only time you really, really find him irate in the very good sense is when people were using stuff to block other people and to deny him stuff. Or when they were hypocritical. So speak evil of no man. I think there's work there for all of us to do. We are all free to speak, but not free to slander. And we're not free to assassinate somebody else's character. Could we say, I have serious misgivings about that person, what they say? Yes, you can even say that. Or I have difficulty accepting that truth. You can even say that. That's not what we're saying. Very different saying, there are an out and out and out and out and five or six different curses, swears on top of them. As if we are God, judge and jury. One final application and then I'm finished. Maybe a good exercise for all of us, myself included, is listen to what you say during the week about others. As you're saying it, listen. And then ask yourself the question, if that was said about me, how would I feel? If the very same thing that I am saying about that person was said about me, how would I feel? That is what he gave me, and I believe it is current, and I believe it is relevant right where we are. If you're looking for a perfect politician, he has never been created. If you're looking for a perfect government, it does not exist. No more than you'll find a perfect pastor. So what you have is imperfect people trying to bring law and order and a certain amount of rule to us who are by our very nature foolish, disobedient, self-deceived, living with envy and malice and having a hatred towards one another that is just barely on the surface. That is what they're trying to do, and we're asking them to rule like that. Easier said than done. One final application. You see often, sometimes, certainly on RTE, when they're interviewing politicians, you see on one side that they are very thorough, grilling and asking, you know, very poignant questions. But you also hear, I used to hear in the past, with respect, minister. They would go after the question, but they would respect the office. I think that's part of what Paul is trying to say here. But it doesn't stick with government, it sticks also with individuals. We need to be careful. Have I done this? Yes, I have. Have you done it? Spoken evil of man, only to be proven wrong. Yes, I have. Convicted by my own sermon. But I think it is the fruit of having a relationship with God that our tongue can be healed gradually. And we can continue to speak the truth, but speak it in love. And not in malice or in hatred. I think there's the world of difference. Lord, we come before you. What is of you, let it remain. What was of me and unprofitable, let it go. But Lord, we do know, and we cannot say in this place, this day, that we haven't been instructed on the power of the tongue, that life and death are in our words. And Lord, it is up to us to control what we say. But we thank you, Lord, for the transformation power that is in Jesus Christ, that cleanses us from the inside. May there be continued healing in our hearts and in our tongues, for the honor and for the glory of Jesus, and all God's people said.